Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
We are on high Kawhi alert. Of course, if Kawhi Leonard decides today, in the next 3 hours, to stop taking the NBA hostage and announce a decision he's almost certainly already made, we will let you know immediately. And in the interim, as we wait for Kawhi Leonard to choose, we think, between the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Raptors, we've got some great guests lined up to give you some perspective. Reed Forgrave covers the NBA, CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ. My buddy Reed's going to be on the show in about 35 minutes, 12:40 Eastern, 9:40 to those of us out here on the West Coast. Bill Ripken's going to be on the program, MLB Network analyst, talk a little baseball, talk whether or not those balls are juiced, talk about that Dodgers team taking the Sabre metrics, let's get on base, walks are as good as hits to a whole nother level, and a lot of other topics from around the majors about an hour and a half from now. And we'll close out the show, or nearly close out the show, with my buddy Howard Beck from Bleacher Report, national NBA writer. Howard's great, and we'll get his take, his perspective on what has been, as you know, a historically wild NBA free agency. The game, the league, has utterly and totally rearranged itself. It's been pretty fascinating. Want to get into later in the program, and I think we'll do this an hour from now. And as always, if you want to hit us up, give us a call, 1-800-636-8686, 1-800-636-8686, rome@haveatake.com, at Jim Rome is Jim on Twitter, jimrome.com. And if you want to hit me up specifically, sports writer, sports in my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. In an hour, want to get into the real reason Kevin Durant went to the Brooklyn Nets and why what he's searching for that he couldn't find in Golden State, he's not going to find in Brooklyn either. KD is running from a part of himself, and the ending, the angst, the frustration that he felt with the Warriors that we're getting a glimpse of post his departure, it's not going to change in Brooklyn, New York. That's about an hour from now. We'll get into the strong difference, the dichotomy between how the Warriors manage their perception with other players, retiring Kevin Durant's number, when really you could make the argument KD didn't earn that, but that's not about that, versus how the Knicks go about doing it. You know, basically assaulting a legend on national television a few years earlier and then pretending that that's not going to have an impact on free agency. And in the final hour of the show, 2 hours from now, and all of this will be cast aside if Kawhi Leonard becomes a Laker. Everything that we're talking about as it relates to the NBA will be pretty meaningless if the Los Angeles Lakers boast LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard. Oh yeah, Jared Dudley's there now. Kyle Kuzma's a pretty good basketball player. But short of that, you've got an NBA that's presenting real parity this year, and you have several teams that are building, I think, toward a shot at dominance, a shot at greatness, 3-4 years down the road. So in a couple hours, want to dive into those NBA teams that are building excellence in the long term we should keep an eye on down the line. But we're going to start, of course, with Kawhi Leonard. And let me, before I get into all the things that I want to say this. I think Kawhi is the second best player on earth right now. Maybe the third. I'm pretty high on Steph. LeBron's still number one for me. But the prize of Kawhi Leonard on your team is close to unprecedented in terms of an unrestricted free agent. The guy's got 2 championships. The guy has 2 finals MVPs. And he is just a day or two into his 28th year on this earth. And I think I said this last time I filled in for Jim. Bill Ryder filling in if you're just tuning in. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome, of course. Kawhi Leonard got to 2 championships before Jordan, before LeBron, before Bill Russell, before Shaq, before most of the guys that we talk about on that all-time list, who dominated their eras, who transcended those rankings we do and became part of the conversation for best players in the history of the game. Kawhi Leonard has turned himself into one of the elite scorers in the NBA, and he is the elite defender in the NBA. And unlike some of the guys who just got paid a whole bunch of money, who I think are going to be really important pieces, Al Horford, I think, makes the Sixers markedly better. Jimmy Butler at least makes the Heat respectable in the sense of having a superstar. But those guys are older. Even Kevin Durant, when he comes back from his ruptured Achilles, is going to be 32 years old the moment he steps on the floor, we think, for the first time post-injury. Kawhi Leonard's young. And Kawhi Leonard has a chance, if he leaves the Raptors, wherever he goes, to be a three-time finals MVP for three different teams. Unfortunately, all signs point that it's going to be the Lakers. And I'll do the same caveat here that every person does that covers the NBA, that, like me, makes calls, tries to know what's going on. You'll probably hear it from Reed Forgrave in 35 minutes. You'll probably hear it from Howard Beck in a couple hours. No one knows what Kawhi Leonard is doing. The guy is an enigma, wrapped in a mystery, tucked inside a puzzle, to remarkably butcher that Winston Churchill quote. I don't know what Kawhi's doing. And even if you thought you knew, A, you're probably lying. But even if you thought you knew, these guys, these NBA players, are human beings. They change their minds. The most public example, the hostage situation from a few years ago, DeAndre Jordan, tells us guys can say one thing, believe one thing, and then decide to do something else. All of that said, I reported this last week, last Friday, on the show that I host here on CBS Sports Radio at night, 6 to 10 Eastern time, afternoon on the West Coast, 3 to 7. Writer than you, I get it, make fun of the name. It's fine, my parents do too, and it's their last name as well. I reported that that Lakers organization, one of the three teams that we know Kawhi agreed to meet with, they are very confident they're going to get Kawhi, talking to sources. And when I say very confident, it's wink, wink, we feel really good about it. Maybe the Lakers are wrong. They have been wrong before. Maybe the Lakers have an inflated sense of what to them is the certainty that Kawhi Leonard's going to join LeBron and AD in a super team of all super teams. It will be the best super team that's ever been constructed. It'll be a markedly better group than what we saw with Golden State. It will turn the NBA regular season into a coronation instead of a competition, unless, like this past finals, two of those guys, two superstars, get injured. Vegas seems to agree overnight. Those odds continue to pretty drastically move in the direction of the Lakers, as friend of this show and friend of my show and just a friend, Arash Markazi from the LA Times, pointed out on Twitter earlier today, and as other people have mentioned, when Anthony Davis was close to having it made public he was going to be a Laker, the odds of the Lakers shot up. I'll give a different example. Just a few days ago on Sunday, when the Nets were the betting favorites to land Kevin Durant, they, about an hour and a half before Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted that KD was going to make his decision, and about 2.5 hours before Woj revealed the decision, those Nets odds did the same thing those Lakers odds are doing. Vegas thinks Kawhi is going to be a Laker. The Lakers think Kawhi is going to be a Laker. And with all the fear of someone who, as an NBA fan, as a sports fan, can for the first time, I think it's the first time in my lifetime, certainly as an adult, as someone who's thinking about sports, to grasp, to see, to believe there's real parity coming, which some of my fellow NBA writers and reporters scoff at. Who needs parity? We've never had parity. Yeah, it's true. We also used to take taxis everywhere. The world evolves. Things develop. We need, as NBA fans, NBA people, to root for Kawhi Leonard to go anywhere else on the face of the earth. And it's really one of any 29 other teams. I don't think he's pulling a Nikola Mirotic and going to Barcelona. Anywhere but the Lakers, and you're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 11 teams that have a real chance, to a long shot chance, to win an NBA championship next year if they're healthy. Utah is really good. Utah is so good. Portland got better. Neil O'Shea, the GM, who we've had on this show, the Jim Rome Show, when I filled in before, picked up some guys off the scrap heap and made some moves. Kent Bazemore, Hassan Whiteside, that make them dangerous. Denver, 2 seed, that's young, that's going to add. We'll see this at Summer League very soon. Michael Porter Jr., maybe that guy becomes a top two, top three draft pick type talent like he should have been before his injury. If Kawhi goes to the Clippers, they're an absolute contender. They'd be my favorite. If he stays with the Raptors, we know what they can do. They just won an NBA championship. The Warriors are going to struggle to make the postseason. I don't love the D'Angelo Russell trade, but if, and it's an if, Klay Thompson comes back and is healthy enough to be near 100% at whatever point the postseason rolls around, if the Warriors can extend the postseason for that to happen, the Warriors are an interesting team that have a chance. I'm not pretending the Mavericks are going to win an NBA championship next year, but Luka Doncic is that good, and if Porzingis is healthy, that's a really interesting team. And that's just the Western Conference.
4th of July is right around the corner, so you want to prepare your vehicle for the 4th of July road trip right now by going to your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Simple preventative maintenance, like changing your oil and filter, topping off engine coolant, and checking belts and hoses, can avoid costly repairs in the future and keep you safe. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts have the parts that you need at guaranteed low prices. Get your vehicle ready for the 4th of July travel right now. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Parts, better prices every day.
I pushed this idea the other day on Twitter, and a lot of people got angry. And we're going to let a few of you have your say here in a minute. Let me just say this. So, Silver can't do... LeBron's not allowed to go collude with Anthony Davis, and it occurred. There's several ways you can pull it off. One, this is a little aggressive, but the NBA could say behind back channels, hey, LeBron, if you guys end up landing Kawhi Leonard, we're going to look into Clutch Sports, which you pretend represents you, which you actually run, and we'd imagine there's some emails and text messages walking us through the fact that you collude. Why don't you push Kawhi another direction? People in power have powerful ways to get the things that they want. It can be done. You can also just block the AD trade based on collusion. It would throw the entire NBA in disarray, but it's better than the NBA being in disarray for the next 5 or 6 years. All right, that's my take. I'm sticking to it. I have one. It does not suck. But again, 1-800-636-8686. A few calls from L.A. I feel like maybe these are not going to be supportive folks. Steve in Los Angeles, my man, thank you for listening. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Yeah, hi, Bill. You know, I respect you as a sports writer and, you do your thing. But, man, you are way off base here, man. You sound like everybody, every executive. You sound like every player. You sound like everybody else who's a player hater. The Lakers are the greatest brands in basketball. They traded for Kawhi. They tried to when he wanted to leave San Antonio. He's been a lifelong Laker fan. The Laker brand is everything. The Clippers are the junior varsity. And when he leaves, he's going to play for the Lakers because the load management is going to have Anthony Davis and LeBron helping him with load management. And you are way off. I don't know where you're coming from. And when Kawhi signs with the Lakers, it's going to be a great day in Laker Village.
Thank you, buddy. Trust me. I got some friends who are Lakers fans and some folks on the periphery and or in that organization who hit me up privately that I've lost my mind. By the way, you're right that Kawhi should have the choice to be a Laker. I don't know, Steve, that I would say that you're right, that Anthony Davis had a right to decide he was going to be a Laker and drive down the price with every other organization and have his agent, Rich Paul, who's LeBron's agent, Rich Paul, tell everyone I'm not going to resign. If you're Adam Silver, you can nix that trade. Do I think Silver has the cojones to do that? I do not. But I don't subscribe to the idea that the NBA thrives with two or three or four dominant teams. And as much as the Lakers are the dominant, most impressive, most important brand in the NBA and maybe in sports, that does not give them the right to wreck the rest of the league. For me, it's squash the AD trade, which would create all kinds of problems for David Griffin in New Orleans. I get it. By the way, a lot of people have accused me of being a Lakers hater. I'm not a Lakers. I live in Los Angeles. I write about and talk about largely the NBA for a living. It is to my great advantage to have thriving NBA teams in this city. I just think it's bad for the game. I just think it takes away so much of the drama. LeBron and AD are going to win championships or a championship. LeBron and Kawhi would win, I think, championships. All three? Now we're getting to the point of what I think is ludicrous. And if it happened naturally, the way it did for the Warriors, had they, and I'm not mad at LeBron. LeBron was a free agent. Do your thing. I'm not mad at Kawhi. You have a choice as a grown man and as a person in this country to go where you want to go. Anthony Davis under contract somewhere else, and the way he became a Laker, it's literally beyond what the rules allow. Not even my opinion, that's just a fact. Matt, also in Los Angeles, thank you for listening to the Jim Rome Show. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Bill, West Sider Ryder. Hey, I'm headed to your old neck of the woods, the 700 block of 4th Street in Manhattan Beach, a.k.a. Poon Central. But that's another story for another time, my man. The NBA talk is fascinating to me. How it's, at its peak, the pinnacle level of NBA talk right now, right after the finals and everything. But I got a conspiracy theory, bro. I think Kawhi's going back to Toronto. I think this whole charade, this whole masquerade, what have you, has been Uncle Dennis wanting to live out a lifelong dream of hanging out with Magic, taking selfies with Magic, going back to Genie's office, and what have you. So, hey, man, props to a dude for getting his lifelong dream. If Kawhi wears that purple and gold, you know I'm down with it. Ballsy, take the team to St. Louis or Seattle, for the love of God. Wake up. Outro.
Thank you, Matt in L.A. All right, I'll see your conspiracy theory, and I'll raise you another one. I need to remember to bring this up to Howard Beck, who is on the show at 2:20 Eastern, 11:20 out here in L.A., because Howard, whenever I bring up conspiracy theories, loses his mind on the air and gets very mad at me. Here's my conspiracy theory. I think the NBA fixed the NBA draft this year. I think they gave New Orleans the number one pick to give David Griffin the latitude to go to his owner and say, we can trade Anthony Davis because we've got the next generational transcendent player. But they also fixed the draft to give the Lakers that four pick. Couldn't go much higher, be too obvious, to give them an asset to come back. New Orleans shouldn't have been at number one. The Lakers shouldn't have been statistically at number four. And the combination of both of those things allowed the Lakers to acquire Anthony Davis. That's my conspiracy theory, and I'm sticking to it. Gio in Northern California, what is going on, dude? Thank you for listening. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
What's up, Bill Ryder? How you doing? How you like sitting in the Jim Rome chair?
Dude,
pretty nice, right?
It is a bucket list thing, as I've said before, Jim. Big part of the reason I have the career that I have, and yeah, man, it's a pretty cool day.
It's awesome, man. Yeah, enough of those Laker fans, man. They're all bags down there. They got LeBron and who else? They got, it's like a graveyard. All the superstars go over there and they just take their stars to go bury it. I mean, what other superstar? I mean, LeBron hasn't even done anything. He got injured. He's going to get the brow to come down and then he's going to get injured. Man, it's just frustrating. But, you know, I'm a Warriors fan myself. So I'm going to take the next 2 years off. Nah, I'm not going to take the next 2 years off. Come on, man. Next year is going to be Steph Curry's biggest year. So I'm going to say unwar those Laker bag fans. Just unwar Matt in L.A. not making it on the air during Smack Off. But you know what? War D.A. giving Matt in L.A. all that time in Smack Off. That's got to be an honor in itself. But, hey, Bill Ryder, you have a great day. And war are you, man. War are you holding down the jungle.
Gio, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. We're talking Kawhi Leonard, some NBA here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. Let's go to San Diego, our incredible affiliate down there. Chris, what up, buddy? You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, what's going on? Appreciate it. Hey, I wanted to, I guess I maybe have a bit of a different perspective on the whole Lakers, you know, trio if they bring Leonard in. I mean, this has been going on for how many years now? I know they, you know, a few years ago blocked the Chris Paul trade with LeBron, but I mean, I just don't see any difference in what's going on the past 3 years. Somebody brought up the fact the other day that Leonard you know, may not fit in well with the Lakers, and then was reminded that Leonard played for the Spurs with a trio of pretty good players around him. I just think everybody's overreacting a little bit, whether he goes back to Toronto or plays with the Lakers. You know, I saw a report yesterday that Golden State, they're saying, isn't even going to make the playoffs next year, which is just utterly ludicrous. I don't know any other word for it. So I just think everybody needs to relax a little bit and enjoy this free agency. I think it's exciting, like the previous caller just said. The NBA Finals are over. You think the NBA season is over. We're not going to talk about it again until October, and now we're still talking about the NBA season now, which to me is definitely good for the sport, and I think it's exciting that we're still talking about it.
Chris in San Diego, thank you, brother. Appreciate you very much. Shout out to their program director down there, Adam Klug, was my producer for a long time. Actually talked to Adam earlier. Great guy, great station. Thank you for listening. I think at the end of the year on CTE, covers the NBA for us, the talented Reed Forgrave. Hello, Mr. Forgrave.
Bill Ryder, what's going on, my man?
I've known you a long time. I was in your wedding. I'm going to give you a really hard time now on national radio on the Jim Rome Show, on the most important radio show in America. Are you ready?
Shocking, shocking. Go ahead.
What are you doing tweeting about how you listen to Mozart when you write, bro? Like, come on, man. What are you doing there,
buddy? It's either Mozart or jazz. You can't listen to music with words when you are writing. I was just sitting in a Starbucks, got my 6 hours of Mozart for relaxation and concentration plan. I thought I'd share that gem, that nugget with the world, man.
I'm glad you did. I used to listen to Kanye, Kings of Leon, and Bob Seger when I was covering the NBA. I'd mix it up, Reed, for you. Let me.
We agree on two of those three bands.
Dude, don't even hate it. Bob Seger's a legend. Let me ask you this. Let me give you what I want to have happen, and you tell me why, like some folks here in L.A. listening to the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, I'm crazy, or maybe I'm crazy like a fox. If Kawhi Leonard decides, and I think he's going to, decides the next few days to be a Laker, I want Adam Silver to squash the Anthony Davis trade, even if he doesn't have the grounds, which I think he could find if he tried. I don't want those three guys together. What say you, Reed Forgrave?
I mean, can he really find the grounds to that? I mean,
collusion.
I guess Chris
Paul's
trade got voided. What else can't get voided? But it would be, for the health of the league, that would be the best thing. Lakers fans would go absolutely bonkers, as you well know, but look, the NBA is great because of parity. We haven't seen as much parity over the past 5 years, but if you look at it big picture over the past decade or two, there's an enormous amount of parity. Adam Silver takes so much pride in cities like Oklahoma City, like San Antonio, like Salt Lake City, being able to become lasting basketball powerhouses. That's a huge point of pride for him. I'm talking about that. The fact that, not just because it's the Lakers, but especially because it is one of those big markets, the perception that they're taking over, using that brand to first get LeBron James, but then, those guys might be the best three basketball players on earth playing on the same team. It's no fun. If we thought the Warriors with Kevin Durant wasn't fun, just imagine what this would look like. I don't care who the other 11 or 12 players are in that team. Put me in as the sixth man. I'll just sit in the corner and miss three-pointers. That team still wins a championship.
Yeah, having played basketball with you, yes, you will. Jared Dudley, part of the team. Kyle Kuzma's really nice young player, really nice player. Andre Iguodala sounds like going to get bought out in Memphis and become a Laker. Reed Forgrave on the show. Reed, where, as we wait with bated breath to see what actually is going to transpire with Kawhi Leonard's free agency decision, where do you think the dude's going to go?
So, first of all, I'd be lying if I say I actually have any insight, or I think anyone would be. Kawhi is such an inscrutable guy. The way that his uncle has absolutely locked down this process. I mean, it was reported yesterday that there's this feeling that they're almost testing to see if these teams are leaking things about this process. That's why there's been absolutely no information. So if I'm telling you I actually believe, have insight on where he's going to go, I'd be lying. So would anybody. I think he's going to stay in Toronto on a 1+1. I think that's what he should do. I think that would be best for the NBA. I think it would be great for Kawhi. I think the idea of a guy who went through such an emotional, traumatic season a season ago with the San Antonio Spurs. He was called a quitter. He was faking an injury. He really kind of doubted himself as a man. And when I asked him about this after they won the title, he gave a really in-depth, very un-Kawhi stereotype answer. Where he's like, that was a hard year for me, and I learned to be true to him, to myself. And maybe being true to myself is, hey, I want to live in Southern California, and I can't go surfing or fishing in Lake Ontario in January. Hey, man, if that's what he wants, more power to him. Go to the Clippers, please. Don't go to the Lakers, whatever you do. But if what he really wants is to win, if he wants a great basketball culture, which, by the way, I get that the Lakers now have two of the very best basketball players on earth, but that has not been a great basketball culture for a very long time, he should stay in Toronto. They, I guess, rehabilitated his career to the extent that it could be rehabilitated. He might be considered the best basketball player on earth right now. That's what I consider him. The way that they handled his injury, the way that he got along with Nick Nurse and Masai Ujiri, I honestly feel, look, if he wants to go surf in the Pacific, more power to him. But if he's as obsessed with basketball as he claims to be, and by all accounts is, why not stay in what seems like a perfect basketball situation in a city and a country where he's basically worshipped as a deity?
Reed Forgrave here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Reed, I know Kawhi's the focus. It has been for me the entirety of the show so far. A lot of teams, I think, vastly improved in free agency. I love what the Sixers did. I love what Utah is putting together. I think Neil O'Shea, the GM in Portland, made some really nice additions to a team that made a conference finals. I don't know. I don't think New Orleans is not making the playoffs next year, but they got markedly better. Boston adds Kemba. I don't know if they're better, but they certainly were able to salvage their situation beyond what people thought they'd be able to do once we knew Kemba was leaving. Who are the teams maybe under the radar that aren't the big markets or the teams we've talked about that you think did a really nice job positioning themselves for this upcoming season or the future over the past week?
You mentioned the top two that I would say, not exactly small markets, but I thought Philadelphia. If I would have told you in the first few hours of free agency they're going to lose Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick, I'd be like, oh, man, Elton Brand's going to get fired. And yet I think they became a better team. This defense is going to be awesome. You add Horford to that. You extend Tobias Harris. And then I feel like the most underrated part of the Sixers free agency, they didn't lose Jimmy Butler for nothing. They got a really valuable player on a team-friendly contract in Josh Richardson. Like, that defense is going to be the best defense in the NBA next season. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to score enough points to win a title, but they might. I might pick the Sixers over the Bucks in the East. I need to think about that. Give me a few months to see how the rest of the league shapes up. But I think I like the Sixers in the East. The other team is the Jazz, man. I'm going to include that Mike Conley trade in it. I know it's not a free agent acquisition, but it essentially is. The fact that they got Bojan Bogdanović. Like, what was this team missing last season? They had the best defense in the NBA, in my opinion. I know they were second to the Bucks, but in my opinion, that was a much better defense. They had the defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert. What they were missing was shooting. They added Bojan Bogdanović, a 40-plus percent three-point shooter who had the best season of his career last year. And they were missing a creator, a guy who can kind of ease the pressure on Donovan Mitchell. They got a perfect guy in Mike Conley. I heard a couple people say Mike Conley's too ball dominant over the past couple days. I'd be like, what are you talking about? Mike Conley's just the perfect addition to this team, a guy who can score. He was just a brilliant passer. And then just like a very much on the margins addition that they made, but Ed Davis, a big man who's just widely respected in the NBA as a guy who does the dirty things. Him coming off the bench, I think, is super smart. To me, it's probably the Lakers who are going to be the favorite in the West. But right behind them, I'd put the Utah Jazz.
Reed, I love, and the Pacers aren't going to win an NBA championship next year, but they were a 3 seed when Victor Oladipo went down to injury. They made some nice additions and added some depth in free agency. And I'm so high on Malcolm Brogdon. He's one of, you'll know, 8 or 9 guys ever in the history of the game who's a 50-40-90 guy, 50% from the field or better, 40% from the three-point line or better, 90% from the free-throw line or better. And every guy, but I think one who's on that list other than Brogdon, is a Hall of Famer like a Steve Nash, like a Larry Bird, or a future Hall of Famer like a Steph Curry or Kevin Durant. Love the Brogdon addition. I think it's a huge loss for Milwaukee. Where do you come down on Malcolm Brogdon for the Pacers being a part of the team and going away for the Bucks?
I mean, I think it's a problem for the Bucks. I think they have enough depth that they were I think they get marginally worse because of that. And that's, frankly, if they had retained Brogdon, I would have picked them over the Sixers. But they certainly get worse without Brogdon. As far as the Pacers go, look, I love Malcolm Brogdon. I thought he was awesome last season. I love this guy since college. He's a winner, great for culture, plays great defense. He's a good enough creator who can shoot the heck out of the ball. I really liked him on that rookie contract. Do I like Malcolm Brogdon nearly as much now that he's going to average $21 million a year for the next 4 seasons? I don't. I think that is just an absolute – look, is it an enormous overpay? No. Like, if he would have signed for $15 million, I would have been like, cool. It just seems like a ton of money and a ton of pressure on him to be quite a starting point guard next to Victor Oladipo. I like the Pacers. I like overall what they did was awesome. They changed their timeline. They got younger. They shipped out their old guys, and now they're more in line with Victor Oladipo's prime, which hopefully, that injury notwithstanding, he's going to be either in right now or entering in the next season or two. And then they're 2 big men. If those 2 big men can play together, Domas Sabonis and Miles Turner, this can be a really, really nice team. I don't know if those 2 can play together, they have a backup option in Gilbert Batate, who I think is a really nice player. I don't see how all three of those can play in the same team and get major minutes. But yeah, I think considering what they had to work with, I think they overpaid Brogdon, but overall they did a really nice job. And as much as they overpaid Brogdon, they got a pretty nice deal for Jeremy Lamb.
All right, Reed Forgrave, look into your crystal ball for me. I'm going to do this in about an hour and a half. Who is going to be the better basketball team over the next 5 years? More success, the Pelicans in the West or the Atlanta Hawks in the East?
Oh, man. Boy, I mean, can I throw the Dallas Mavericks into that conversation?
I think the Mavericks are the best of those two
teams. I
think
that's probably, in a weird way, if you're like an NBA junkie, that is one of the biggest questions in the NBA. That could be like a question that defines this next era of the NBA. And I would put that third Dallas Mavericks team in there. I might pick the Mavericks, although who knows who fills in around beside Doncic and Porzingis. But between Atlanta and New Orleans, I'd probably pick Atlanta, and let me explain why. I think New Orleans has so much talent. We'll see if Lonzo Ball can live up to his potential. We'll see if Brandon Ingram can live up to his potential. I'm still high on Lonzo Ball, facts notwithstanding. And I think he can be an all-star or a near all-star point guard. Tell me Dunk, I might be. But I think that fit in Atlanta is so much better. It feels like they are developing the perfect lineup where you got a hell of a point guard, even better facilitator than any other shooter in Trae Young. You got an elite big man in John Collins. You got a hell of a shooter in Kevin Huerter. And then you got these like long athletic wings, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, who you know I love. I really, really like their core, and I think they make sense as a basketball team in a way that I'm not sure the Pelicans will.
Reed Forgrave covers the NBA and college hoops for CBS Sports. You can read him in GQ Magazine, New York Times Magazine. He's writing a book. See him on CBS Sports HQ, the 24-hour streaming sports network where I have a show during the week at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. Mr. Forgrave, thanks for the time, buddy.
Hey, remember, Bob Seger, he ain't no Mozart, bro.
Good night now!